You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 306. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we had no event locally, so we're probably much going to talk about the audio episode of the Star Trek that we listened to. unless we have anything else, I think we've put another event on the schedule, I think for the 21st of May. But other than that, I think it's going to be pretty quiet for a little while. Anything else you want to talk about, or should we just jump into to Starve a Fleet?
I did play in an online event briefly. I can touch on that. Some of their games are still underway, so I can't really talk about my opponent's decks too much. But I'm done, so I can talk about how much my deck sucks.
All right. The long-awaited first episode that I listened to when I was little, to Starve a Fleet. I am going to recuse myself from rating this, but I will briefly recap. The Enterprise is sent to to take on a ambassador or a representative so they can be entered into the Federation. They beat him on board, they give him a tour, and in the middle of it, Kirk starts breaking up in laughter on the bridge and scratching himself. Then McCoy and Uhura start doing the same, and Scotty calls up from the engineering that they're having a problem. Everyone's just laughing and can't concentrate and are scratching themselves. They deduce that it could be coming from the ambassador, so McCoy takes him to sick bay where they do a run and scan on him, and they find that he's got these parasites on him, and so do everyone else, that are that apparently, what does he call them, Mijis? And everyone has them, right? No? Oh, sorry about that. So now everyone's infected with these things. McCoy tries a bunch of different stuff, and anything that slows him down will be terminal to the host. So they talk for a bit while longer. They do some other just kind of random talking. And eventually Scotty comes in, and Scotty is depressed because no one's doing their jobs, and he can't keep track of engineering. And he keeps complaining and complaining, and then they all notice that he doesn't have, he's not scratching himself, and he's, not laughing. So McCoy takes a sample from him, and all his parasites are dead, because he's depressed.
Well, if you have an emotional parasite that literally feeds on happiness.
Right. So,
starve it.
McCoy and Spock deduce that that's exactly it. It's starving. We killed them. So let's tell everyone to be sad. Kirk tells everyone on the ship, think of a sad memory. We'll kill off all these bugs. And everyone thinks about the saddest times in their lives, which to some people would be listening to this album. Eventually, all the parasites die off. And even the counselors, what did he call himself? The most esteemed ambassador or something like that. His colony's dead as well.
Counselorship.
He's sad. Hooray! They solved the problem. They're going to go forward with getting them into the Federation with the stipulation that they're going to be quarantined until they can figure out what to do about them. And he goes off to go to get a new population because his are dead. And then they have a little ending bit where they're talking on the bridge, and someone says something about, but Spock, you weren't affected at all. And he says, well, that's because I'm superior. And then Uhura turns on him and says, well, I saw you giggle. And everyone has a good laugh at his expense, and he takes off, and everyone laughs at him. I actually thought the ending part was actually pretty well done, but... what were your thoughts? Did I miss it? Number one, did I miss anything?
No, I mean, there wasn't a lot to it.
Yeah.
But this is kind of one of those stories that I think fits well in this format. You know, it's short. There isn't a lot going on. You can't have too much going on. We've seen the dangers of trying to cram too much into a little bit of a format. You know, it seemed to be paced well. You know, the reveal didn't go on too long. Okay, the one guy's giggling, another guy's giggling. What's going on? This is abnormal. I actually didn't mind it so much. I thought it was pretty entertaining. You know, certainly on the scale that we've come to rate these, which is the animated series scale. You know, it was cute. They you know, everybody's voices were pretty good. I did think really the only hole that I thought of was, you know, they always have, and this is a recurring theme in a lot of emotion based stories, is it's very difficult to tell people to feel a certain way. Like, you know, they figure out what's going on, and, you know, Scotty's so depressed because the efficiency is going bad, and that's like his life is keeping the Enterprise up and running, and he's so sad that it kills off his fleas or his meeples or whatever they are. That's great. And then Kirk gets on the comm and is like, all right, everybody, we've determined what the cause of this is. So I'm ordering you all to think sad thoughts. And, you know, it's certainly, you know, think happy thoughts is one thing. It's a lot harder to make yourself actively feel negative emotions. I know actors try to do it for scenes and stuff, but, you know, I really was like expecting him to get on the comm and be like, all right, shore leave is canceled forever. Everybody is working triple duty shifts for the next month. And, you know, the replicators are offline, so everybody has to eat rations, you know, and just like try to rile everybody up and get, I think that would have been a little more interesting than ordering people to, you know, think sad thoughts or something. But, you know, it was a short little story and it resolved itself pretty quickly. I liked that the counselor's ship's hive or colony or whatever died as well. That made sense. Cause that was the first thing I thought of, is like, well, that explains why they're always so happy. And then he's like getting distraught because he feels bad for causing problems. Why are his still there? They address that eventually. And it did bring up an interesting thing. Like, They resolve it, and Kirk is like, all right, here we go. Let's go sign the treaty, and you can go home. You know, you didn't mean to cause any harm, and now we know what it is, and we know how to solve it. But from a this planet is joining the Federation point of view, I feel like you would have to address, you know, they're talking about, oh, well, we have these, now I forgot what they are, Fleavers, whatever they call the parasites.
The meeples. And I like that.
The meeples. Yeah, the meeples. And they feed off happiness. And so we just keep them happy. We always think happy thoughts. So they're basically kind of being held hostage. And that's why they're this positive society. And as like a Federation reviewer of this, I'd be like, well, what happens if that suddenly dies out? Or, you know, if, you know, we've had this interaction with, you know, their first interaction with humans or with a Federation starship, this counselor's colony died out. He's feeling sad. You know, he's free to feel whatever emotions he wants. Now, what is he going to do with that? And what if all of their meeples die out after contact with Federation? And then they're, you know, they just are free to act like lunatics. You know, are they still going to be Federation material?
That's
probably overthinking.
No. I mean, certainly you'd have to go down that path. He does say it's probably held them back, but, you know, to think that if they've got a fairly utopian society, all of a sudden, you know, you're right. If they get off planet and, you know, they start wandering around without their, you know, their conscience enforcers.
Yeah. What's gonna happen to them? Jiminy Cricket is not there to tickle you and make you happy.
Yeah. That's bizarre. Okay, we need to starve a Fleaver too.
when it all goes wrong.
That's right. And a bunch of little guys running around with knives and all right.
The Fleaver starves back.
all right. Well, I'm glad that I'm glad this was not the worst episode. I enjoyed it. I played it, across, in the room and to the speakers in the kitchen. My wife said that this was the worst Scotty that she'd ever heard. I can't disagree. I thought McCoy was pretty well done. He had a lot of good lines, and he continues to be a strong voice actor. I thought it was fun. It was as amusing as I remembered it. Any other thoughts?
Nope, that's it.
All right.
It was fun, for what it was.
15-minute, small, contained, little jaunt. I thought it was, as you said, good for what it was. I'd probably rate this, pretty good rating on our lowered expectation scale, right?
Agreed.
Okay. Next up is the one that I actually remembered and led me down this path. So I don't want to build it up too much, but I do enjoy it. It's a mirror for futility. I'm looking forward to listening to it again. So we'll talk about that at some point in the future. How's that?
That's probably a good plan.
All right. Doing anything else in the next 12 hours or so?
We're probably, in exactly 12 hours, probably be ready to go under the knife. We're heading in to the hospital, and hopefully we'll come out with we'll go in for two and come out with three.
Very good. Well, we wish you best of luck with that. You mentioned, so did you wrap up an online event, before everything's taken place?
Yes. I signed up. So this is one of those lessons that, needs to be relearned after you haven't played online for a while, which is, don't wait too long. And actually not just online, but in general, I built my deck like a month ago and I didn't play it until like 3 weeks later. And I missed some pretty important design points along the way, including, what to do with my deck, but also I built it so long ago and then things got delayed with scheduling. And so I kind of threw up my hands and put it aside. But I made kind of a major error in deck construction that cost me pretty heavily. I don't want to give too much away because my primary opponent is still playing games, but I went in with a quadrant hopping deck and in a last minute change of missions, I managed to negate my ability to hop quadrants.
Whoa, don't. Would you take out the wormhole missions or something?
Well, I did that on purpose. So the tournament was block open.
Oh. All right. You volunteered for an open game. Okay.
And,
but it's
and
block.
Yeah,
okay.
You know my feelings about open, but it is block. And honestly, so the biggest thing about open really, there's a lot of the stuff is nerfed just by virtue of being blocked. There's not a lot of those cards in there, but somebody mentioned in the thread was like, all right, bring on your missions. I'm going to steal them all. I was like, oh, crap. So I seeded like three HQ defend home or defense measures.
All right.
Figuring, that'll get me through a game. That's 9 turns after you start attempting. I made sure all of my missions had plenty of icons so that they would be defended. That's why I went mirror quadrant, among other reasons that I was like, okay, I'm going to stay over here so you can't get to me, but I still need a couple alpha quadrant missions. So I was going to make it more difficult. I kept the wormhole out and I was going to use multi-dimensional transporter device to hop back and forth. And I did this in another deck that I copied off Thomas, which I thought was really funny that I didn't until playing him with his deck confirm that he's like, oh, you got that to work. Huh? I never got it in my game, which was, no wormhole, hop over, planet to planet, and then hidden fighter in the opposite quadrant to get a ship,
okay,
and then go do the space mission. Because usually without the wormholes, people are like, oh, space, you're not going to come and do this space mission. I'll put my weak combo here. And so that was the plan. And my two alpha missions were the only non-duplicated missions. So I'm like, all right, I got a planet in space over there. I'm just not even going to worry about these duplicated missions. I'm going to go over there and focus on those. And then I looked down and realized I had swapped one of my planet missions. And so I still had a space mission that had a matching counterpart, but that didn't help me because I had no way to get a ship into the Alpha Quadrant.
Right.
So that was kind of the beginning of the end for me. I kind of pecked away at some missions, but you know, with all of the rest of them duplicated, there was a lot of stealing potential, and that was my downfall. But one thing that I don't think is going to be giving too much away, because it's a card he's going to play right away, my opponent's, is a card I'd like to talk about, which I really liked when I first read it. And I'm trying to remember the exact name of it. I believe it's called The Greater Glory of Cardassia. It's in that most recent set.
Yeah. Seeds or plays on table or processing units on Cardassian DS9 Nors are immune to reactor overload if security board. While you have not attempted a mission, your Cardassian Nor cannot be commandeered. Once per game, if you download a Cardassian or KCA outpost during your seed phase, you may download 3 DS9 cards there, limit 1 ship, or a better alternative, or automated security system. This is from through the Looking Glass. It's an incident.
Yep.
Okay.
So, if you think about the emissary objectives, particularly, I miss this office where, I think the mirror one, the KCA one, has a similar caveat, because it's very possible for the good guys, quote unquote, DS9 or Terran Empire, to seed the station before you do.
Yeah.
And if you're basing your objective on that, your engine on that, it's tough. So there's a contingency for you to download an outpost. And then you can put your free reports there, and presumably you're going to go and take over the station later.
Right.
But even then, some people felt it was a little weak. This clearly was meant to beef that up a bit. So the whole caveat: if you have downloaded an outpost during your seed phase, mm-hmm. you get free people. Even better. Except that it specifies, you've downloaded a Cardassian or KCA outpost, there's no specifications about who those people you download have to be, other than being Deep Space Nine personnel, Deep Space Nine property logo.
Yeah, they have to go there, but yeah, you can download 3 DS9. So what's the trick?
My opponent did not download Cardassian personnel. He went and got some very, very different people.
Okay.
He was doing a lot of, I don't want to
sure
dig into his deck because he's still got games to play, but you know, and it's not to say that he has to do that again. He could go play it and actually get Cardassians, cause he had some, but he was playing a combo of cards that clearly should be affected by that card and people who should not be affected by that card, or you would not think would be, you know, in league for the greater glory of Cardassia.
Interesting.
So it was really kind of wonky to turn around and be like, you know, it's like, okay, you've thwarted my ability for Tarak Nor. So, you know, Captain Picard and Locutus of Borg, and you know, not Locutus because you can't do Borg, but you know, Quark and, you know, like Kazon Schmo, you know, anybody who was on DS9. It was just weird.
Okay. Sure.
And I was like, I don't know if that's supposed to be like that, but.
But it only comes up if the opponent seeded DS9.
Yeah.
Assuming, okay.
So if your opponent plays the station that you were planning to play,
you get any three guys. All right.
Yeah.
Weird. All right.
And if you happen to be, I didn't even think about that, but if you happen to be playing something like I've done the opposite of, like play Bajor and KCA or Terran Empire, you know, play on both sides of the quadrant of the wormhole, you could do either one.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
you're like, oh, you, it's like if you play DS9 or Mirror Taric Nor, I can go get something.
Okay.
You just throw a KCA station in your, or outpost in your deck just to have it.
Just go get three guys. They don't have to even match the quadrant. Just get them and play them there. I suppose this would come up a lot more in a block event. Because I was thinking about this, like, man, that's really specific. But since when you put it in the perspective of block, that's going to be half the games, right? Because your opponent's either going to be playing DS9 or Taric Nor for the most part in this block.
Yeah, or Mirror Taric Nor or Mirror Taric Nor.
Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's both blocks, you know.
Yeah.
Those are the two active blocks right now, are all station-based. So there's, of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, of the 6 engines, you know, unless they're playing Maquis.
Unlikely, but yeah.
Or Dominion, I guess. Both of those seem really hard in block. There is a 4 out of 6 chance they're going to be using a station, and, you know, unless they're using Regency 1 or the headquarters. So, yeah, I was like, wow, that's crazy. And it made, it was interesting. I laughed it off, but I was like, I don't know. This might be something to keep an eye on for the future.
Certainly. Now all you need is some way of seeding DS9 and make it your opponent's.
Yeah, that would be a neat trick. Let me warm up my baseball.
Yeah, right. Kind of like, it reminds me of the old light side Death Star, right? So you could play attack run decks and make sure it wasn't play.
Yeah.
But give your opponent a DS9 and say, oh, well, look, you got a DS9. I guess I'll get this, and I'll get this, and I'll go take it over. And, yeah. I'll blow it up, and you can use loose force for each icon on your side. All right. Well, I'm glad you got another round in. you've got plans. You've been playing. I've heard Dabo is back in the online game, the one that you play.
You know, we have not found anything definitive, but to my knowledge, Dabo has only ever been seen on an iPhone.
Oh, interesting.
I've had no experience with Dabo. I've never seen it come up on my game. I've never heard it on any of the Android players I've talked to have ever seen it.
Those that didn't make the jump with me, I went immediately to Star Trek Timelines, which is the mobile app that everyone's been playing.
They've been tempting me because after the last event, I decided, all right, I'm saving up my Dilithium and I'm getting my fourth shuttle. And I've been doing pretty good. I'm at about 1,600 right now, and it costs 2,500. So 9 more days. But they've had like 3 limited limited personnel events in like 2 weeks. And like they just finished one with they did Quark, Son of Keldar, or Klingon Quark. And it's like, all right, House of Quark, whatever. They're doing one right now that is the World War II Voyager personnel from the simulation, so Chakotay and 7. I was like, all right. But they just, I managed to resist the Dixon Hill and Gangster Spock.
Wow, that's funny.
Combo. I'm like, I want to buy all, I want to spend my Dilithium, but like they're going to be leadership insecurity, and I have tons of leadership insecurity, and maybe third skill diplomacy, and third skills are always useless. So I resisted, but I've started leveling up my two Kirks. I discovered that they do a Twitch stream every Friday afternoon, or Friday pre-afternoon, like 11:30. for about a half hour, which is nice. They just kind of answer questions and talk about, you know, what's coming up, fixes they're making, and things they're adding. And they said that the next event is going to be Kirk and Uhura based. So those are going to be the ones that give you bonuses. So I started level, you know, I don't have any Uhuras, but I started power leveling my two Kirks. And they're going to add, I'm excited about this, shuttle mission boosts, an assortment of boosts that you can get in assortment of ways. And they will be things like, you know, buff the skills for your people for one mission. So if you go and he's like, I really need this mission, but they're only, I'm hitting like 50%. It's like, well, I'll use a boost this one time. And now this guy's double his skills. And now I'm at 70%. That's much better. Or you can, I think they call it double down or something on a mission, which makes it take twice as long, but you get twice the rewards.
If you succeed at it.
Yeah. So if you succeed, you know, the idea is you get a random number of rewards.
So,
and
so
it, you, like die rolls on it.
So you double down before you go to bed because you're not going to get up at 3 a.m. and send you guys
exactly.
off another
mission. Exactly.
Nice. All right. I see the logic there.
Yeah. So that was cool. And then they, I think there's a reverse one where you can, you know, speed it up or whatnot. So that was interesting. That was, you know, these are all kind of in testing right now, but I thought that was a cool idea. I guess they're going to be, you know, you can get a few basic rewards and then you can, you know, because they have to, that's their business model. They have, you can spend dilithium and get a bunch of them or you can just have a few. So I thought that was a cool idea to add on and they're going to, that will be released at some point in the future. Hopefully before the next event, because that would be cool to be able to do event missions overnight.
All right. The other game that I think we talked about, I talked about with Charlie last week when you were gone, was the Pathfinder ACG. Have you been keeping up with that as well?
I have. I assume you mean the online version?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm having a good time.
Is there any... with other games, particularly the Star Trek timelines and a couple other games that I played that are free to play and pay for extra... there's limitations on how much you can play per day, right? So you can only do so much stuff before you have to start spending money. Otherwise, you just have to wait. I don't remember seeing any
True.
Kind of limitation like that on Pathfinder. I mean, the game takes a while. It takes a lot of time and paying attention to get things done.
Yeah.
So, but there's no limit to how many times you can play, is there?
Not as such. There is a limitation as to your... you know, the variety of experience, because you can really only play Adventure Zero until you have made a purchase. So, you know, if you are going purely free, you get Kyra and you get Mariciel and you get those three scenarios in Adventure Zero and you get them on, you know, easy, medium, and hard. And, I mean, you can keep playing them and you can keep earning gold for, you know, I think you get 100 for finishing scenario normal, 150 for medium, and 200 for hard. And then you get like a couple of gold for one gold for beating a monster, two gold for beating a henchman, and 5 gold for closing a location. It's, I think, 1,000 gold before you can purchase Adventure 1.
So you'd have to burn through it at least 10 times, maybe 9 if you get
yeah.
lucky.
Yeah. So I think... the idea is supposed to be you can go through, if you do, you know, easy, medium, and hard, all three, so you do all 9 of those, you should be able to get to 1,000 so you can then buy deck 1. But that was about where I was like, okay, well, I have enough gold to do something now. What am I going to do with it? Mm-hmm. Am I going to buy another character so I can have another character and make that interesting? Do I want to buy the adventure deck and keep going with just these two? All of these things that are going to increase the breadth of my gaming experience are also things that are in that bundle. And this is as you know, we're regular ACG players. We know the game, $25 to get the whole thing, you know, all six adventure decks, every character, that's a bargain.
$25 for that, for the entirety of that game, is quite reasonable.
So I was, my opinion was kind of like, I wanted to see the build up, like how it was set up, see how far I could go with just gold. But when it got to the point where I can't go any further right now, or vary my experience without spending gold, and I don't want to buy something that I'm perfectly willing to purchase, and then I could use my gold on, you know, treasure chests or something. And that is something new that's going to vary my experience. And so once I got that far, I kind of went, well, I could keep rolling, or, you know, I'm willing to do this. So I played it free up to that point, and then I was like, all right, let's do this. So yeah. I'm at about 4,200 gold right now. I think it's 6,000 to get the biggest pack of treasure chests, so you can get the most free, you know, bonus chests. So I was like, well, I'm just going to keep my gold and save it up. And I think it's interesting that you don't, unlike like timelines where you get the rewards and you're like, okay, here they are, go for it. These, you get the extra cards, but they're added to your box. So you still have to play and earn them and get them into your character decks.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting way of doing it. And like you said, $25 for, I don't even know, we talked about it last week, how much, you know, the base game plus all the expansions plus all the bonus cards plus all the
promos
and the different, all the decks. Tell me, do the cards that come with the minis, are they included in that package as well? You know, the like Ezra's robe?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That would have been really cool. And I feel like that'll probably be something, either maybe they're hidden in treasure chests somewhere, or that'll be a promo that comes up later.
Yeah, because the named items would be cool. But with the promise of getting not, you know, Adventure Deck 1 or Adventure Deck 2, but all seven Adventure Decks for, again, $25. That's amazing. That is a lot of hours of gaming. We'd be fools not to pay $25.
We promise we're not being paid to say this.
I mean, the only reason I haven't yet is because I played levels 0, 1, and 2 over and over and over with different, you know, I played once with just Ezrin and Marisol, and I played once with our big 5-person party. And I played once with the four basic ones, because, you know, that's fun too. You know, the cleric, the fighter, and the mage. And I've just been through it so many times that I haven't felt the need to sit down and play through. I think I got through the level 0 ones, but I haven't felt the need to sit down and try to play further. As soon as I do, and that itch comes, I'll probably drop the $25, because, again, that's a lot of content for $25.
It really is. So I want to say like $200 retail at least.
I mean, for everything, yeah. And it feels kind of odd buying something that I already have, you know, the real copy of. But, you know, just being able to sit down and play without the whole setup. And have we ever sat around and tried playing a past the tablet game?
No, I don't think so.
You know, one of these Friday nights when we're playing a game that may or may not take everyone's attention all the time,
sure,
we should fire one up on a tablet and just pass it around and have that going around while everyone else is playing the other game too. I guess the only thing that would be weird is trying to give blessings to other people or anything that somebody else requires on your turn.
Right.
That would be kind of hard. Yeah. But anyway, something to try. You know.
I spent your blessing for you to help me.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I was just thinking of? Have you tried playing like with your wireless off and no connection to the internet? Can you play that way?
You can, but you do not get gold.
Fair enough. But
you have to be signed in and connected for the gold rewards to kick in.
Let's say you're on a 5-hour flight.
Yeah,
and you're sitting next to someone. And maybe you don't have all three seats in the row so you can spread out and actually play the real Pathfinder card game, as we might have done. you could certainly fire up a tablet and just have it sitting between you and pass it back and forth and say, oh, I've got that, I'll take care of that, and I'll, you know, that would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And you could, I mean, like, heck, you could do that, like, across rows or between rows if you have multiple people.
Yeah.
Pass back and forth, you know, in front and behind. Yeah. It's really cool. And I like that they did. It was really cool. I had forgotten that they included the promo cards with the package deal, the bundle. It was really cool to be, you know, exploring and then, you know, suddenly have Poog come up.
Nice.
The little toad on his head.
One of the things that I was disappointed I couldn't figure out during the beta was redoing adventures. You know, like how we'd play it, you know, if say four of us are there one night and there's a fifth person, when they come back, we'd go back and do that adventure again with people who had already done it. They wouldn't get the same rewards, but the person would get the rewards that they missed and any new cards that comes up. It sounds like that's something that's very easy to do. So you could potentially...
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could potentially get all the characters leveled up, you know, as far as they can get, it ready for the next, you know, adventure deck to come out.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And they just, like, speaking of variety experience, one of the facets that was interesting that has been down since release is questing, and I heard that they patched that and it's back up and running this week. So... if you don't want to follow the storyline, or if you're done with following the storyline and you want something new, you can hit the quest and it will just generate random locations equal, you know, to, for the number of players that you're playing with, random villain, random henchman.
Go. That is pretty cool. I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's how they're going to implement the organized play scenarios, because that would be fun too.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Or maybe that'd be another... I gotta imagine, once they get everyone $25, they're gonna have to get money from everyone another way, sometime. So maybe an organized play pack or all the character, you know, the named cards. Maybe that's coming. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I would assume, you know, you can expand this with, like you said, the OP adventures. You can just say, you know, start a new adventure path, and have, you know, those come out as individual decks.
Yeah. All right. I'm on the edge. I have not had enough time, and I just got something else to do. So eventually I'll roll back into that and burn through some battery life on my tablet and phone playing that again. The other thing I briefly talked to Charlie about, and I think I mentioned it to you a little while ago, is this game called AAA, or this package.
Yes.
Have you explored it at all since I talked about it?
No, I downloaded it and I installed it, but I haven't had a chance to open it for fear of what happened to you.
Yeah, it's just been amazing because I really enjoyed, you know, the time that we got together and played, you know, whatever 72 hours in a row or whatnot, you know, when we had that stuff set up. But
yeah.
the agony of making someone play Russia, or, you know, when one of the axes falls and you got to finish the game, just having that player to sit there
tough.
And twiddle their thumbs. I mean, it's bad enough, you know, say the person who always played Germany takes so long that everyone else just went to take a nap during that turn. To be able to play the game and have it set up when you hit go, and then, you know, just watch, move. Okay, now it's your turn. And then
Or play US and have to sit there for... Yeah. An hour and a half before you even get a turn.
So I started with Britain. I played a few times. Eventually, you know, ended up figuring out, you know, what to do again, and was able to win a few times. I moved to Russia and played Russia a few times. That was rough. But I finally played and won, and played and won decisively. So I felt, okay, I got that. I went to play U.S., and I swear, I cannot figure out how to win as a United States. I lose every time, and I don't know
really?
Why. Yeah, I've tried doing the invasion through Norway. I've tried invasion through Africa. I've tried just hammering the Japanese and leaving Germany to the Britons and Russians. So the man, I can't. Every time Russia falls and then it's over. I don't know what to do. But the fact that, you know, you play and then it you look up and it says the Axis have achieved economic victory. Do you want to continue? I'm like, oh. well, no. All of Asia and Europe is controlled by the Axis. Well, we'll start over again. And then you go, and then you're starting over again, and the computer will go so fast, and all the decisions are, you got your combat move phase, and you just click where all your stuff is going to go, and if you change your mind or you realize, oh, my tank can't get that far, you can just go undo, all the way back to the beginning again and start over again.
It's very nice.
You can't go back a phase, so, you know, once you do your battles, you can't back up and say, oh, that was a mistake. But it's the interface probably took a game or two to get all the, you know, how to click and unclick and things go together, but it's really well done. And it's renewed my interest in World War II documentaries. So I've got one of those playing on the left screen, and I've got AAA playing on the right screen, and it's been a lot of fun. So one of the cool things is you can when you start it up, it's got play online, start local game, host networked game, connect to network game. So you know, one of these Fridays when we all have a laptop, we get to sit around with, you know, five of us and just play. And I imagine it would be much quicker because, you know, number one, you have to set up. And even the a long turn, like the first couple turns, it's just click, 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 and then go, and it rolls, and you know, retreat, no, keep going, keep going, keep going. It's an Iron Brigade. He's fought everybody off. Whatever. It's reasonably fast. I think we could probably get it together and play one of these times.
Cool. What do you think the average game time is, like, for a full run through?
I don't know, less than an hour.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, no.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's, you know, maybe a short game would be 9 turns, a longer game would be 20 turns. And that's just depending on, you know, which way that line Russia. Between Russia and Germany goes. You know what might be interesting is if, say, I don't know, you, me, and Charlie, because I've talked about it with you guys, wanted to play, and all three of us played allies against, you know, a couple Axis opponents. You know, that way we could sit around the table and talk strategy and say, okay, I'm going to go over here. Or, okay, we go over there. Support me over here. I'm going to fall. My planes are going to fall back. Don't move your troops out. You know, that kind of thing. I'm going to soften them up. You come in with a 1-2 punch, you know.
Yeah, put it up on the projector.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. All right, well.
Now, what we need is the overhead projector. The pointing down projector, and then we can stand around the table with a little laser pointer.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, one of the things I like about it is you can zoom in, not, you know, to, you know, the USA takes up the whole screen, but you can zoom in, zoom out, so you can see everything at once and move things around. Anyway, one of these Fridays, you know, or, you know, one of these Fridays when we were going to have a StarCraft night, because we could play online. Network.
That's what I was going to say. If we end up having to punt, but we, you know, people can play from home, we should do that in place of a StarCraft night.
Yeah. All right. Sounds like a plan.
Awesome.
I have no way of connecting that to Star Trek. So there you go. Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's wrap then.
All right. Well, I'm going to go pack and get ready to head out in the morning, but you. Or at least our local group can get ready for a tournament a week from Saturday.
A week from Saturday, that's right.
So I'll look forward to hearing about how the 1E OTF is going. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will run in. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. But they are always